chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And today we hear the word of Christ as we look in the scriptures. And today our scripture passage is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. We've been looking at this passage, kind of diving in and going a little deeper, and then just broad strokes, but asking what does each part of this whole armor of God actually look like, and how does it apply to us today? So I invite you to turn in a Bible, whether it's yours or the one in front of you, to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you are using the Bible in front of you, that should be found on page 979. Again, this is the word of our Lord Jesus, the word of God for the people of God. Let's hear what he has to say to us, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, just as Paul prayed for boldness, I pray that you give me boldness today to point to Jesus, to not be afraid of the attacks of the evil one, but to stand firm with this whole armor that you've told us about in your word, and help not only me to stand firm, but these folks to stand firm in Christ and to believe, to trust you. We sang today that we would trust you with our lives, with everything that we are, and that in all circumstances we would see you at work, even when it is hard to see. So give us what we need to respond to your word well today, that no one would leave here without either having faith for the first time or having our faith strengthened. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really don't want to be offensive when I ask this question, but are essential oils really essential? I mean, I've been thinking about that recently. Now, some of you may be essential oil enthusiasts, and I'm not trying to, say anything negative about essential oils. But every time I think about the phrase essential oils, I have to remind myself, well, okay, what does that mean? Because to me, essential means absolutely necessary, indispensable. In fact, that's exactly what the dictionary told me when I looked it up. Essential, absolutely necessary. And I have to ask, are these oils really essential? Are they really? I've lived a long life without essential oils. Now, some of you may say, well, that's why you're so messed up, Stuart, because you've never really tried this. And that may be the case. But if you look in the dictionary, you will find that there's another definition of essential, not the one that we mostly think of, which is indispensable, absolutely necessary. But there's another definition that says pertaining to the essence of a thing. Pertaining to the essence of a thing. So essential oils are apparently saying that the essence of lavender, the essence of peppermint, the essence of eucalyptus, the essence of rosemary, those things are somehow distilled into this oil that you can use to, for all kinds of purposes. And so there are more than one way of understanding the word essential. And now, the other thing that confused me was I was reading this article about essential oils. And it was saying, well, that's the definition of essential that we're using here. But then it went on to say that essential oils are not really oils. And I got really confused by that point. So I don't know what to think about essential oils. And if anybody who is an essential oil enthusiast is feeling upset about something that I've said this morning, I apologize. And I want you to know that a little lavender should calm you down really easily. Now you may be asking, why am I talking about essential oils in a sermon? And that is a good question. Really, it was a tricky and hopefully humorous way of trying to get in the definitions of the word essential. Because when we use the word essential, most of us think that first definition, absolutely indispensable. But another definition of essential, which is pertaining to the essence of something. And both of those definitions pertain to what we're going to talk about today in this passage. Because according to this passage, and in understanding what God is saying about engaging in spiritual warfare, God's way, faith is essential. Faith is essential. And it's essential in both definitions. Faith is absolutely necessary and indispensable in spiritual warfare if we are to stand. And faith really is the essence of fighting God's way. And I hope as we talk about this today, you'll see that. First of all, in verse 10, we see, and I really do believe that verse 10, is the primary verse for understanding everything else that comes after it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you've been in this series for a while, you've heard me say over and over again that so many times we come to this passage and we talk about putting on the whole armor of God. What we're really talking about is how we can be strong in our own might. How we can do something to be better equipped to be able to fight. And it's mostly about us. But what God is trying to say here is move away from yourself and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not yours. And so He says, put on the whole armor of God, not your armor, God's armor. And we talked about this several weeks ago about how in Isaiah, God puts on this armor to save His people. And Paul is definitely connecting the dots between that Isaiah passage and this passage. The way we stand firm is standing strong in what God has given us, particularly in Christ. And so he says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand firm. Stand firm with the belt of truth. And we've talked about that, how that really points us to Jesus, because He is the truth. The breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about that and how that really points us to Jesus also, in that Jesus is our righteousness. We've talked about as shoes for our feet, the readiness given by the gospel of peace, and how that really is that we are made ready to go into battle because Jesus brings us peace. And now in verse 16, we're talking about the shield of faith. And remember, faith is essential to this battle. It is absolutely necessary. It is indispensable, and it is the essence of the fight. It is the essence of how we fight. We trust in the strength of God in Christ. Hopefully we're going to be able to talk through this some. So in verse 16, it starts off with this interesting phrase, in all circumstances. And I think we need to just talk about that for a moment. In all circumstances. Notice Paul doesn't say, take up the shield of faith when it looks like you're being attacked. He doesn't say, take up the shield of faith when it seems like there's something wrong. He says, in all circumstances, no matter what circumstances you're in, even if it looks good, even if it's a good day, even if it doesn't look like there's a battle raging on, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Because you never know, A, when the enemy might come. And B, faith is essential. Faith is what this is all about. Now he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Now, when we think of a shield, before I studied this passage, when I think of a shield, I think of something small. You know, like this kind of shield that's like this. You know, maybe it's a round, or maybe it's some type of triangle, and you kind of hold it here, and it protects just basically this part of your body. The interesting thing here is that the word that Paul uses, I'm not trying to get all Greeky on you or anything, but the word that Paul uses here, when he uses this word, he's talking about a much larger shield. Not just one that's, you know, right here, but in that day, the Roman soldier's shield that is referred to here is like a door. It is about this wide, and if I put it on the floor, it would come up to about right here on me. That's about way up the chest. One of the nicknames of it was a barn door shield. It's a big shield. And as a Roman soldier would hold that shield, he could get behind it and cover his entire body with it. Or he could put it over top of him in case arrows were coming in and protect his entire body by it. And this type of shield was important in ancient warfare because in that day, soldiers slung rocks and weights and spears and, of course, shot arrows. And sometimes they would catch those things on fire and they would come at you that way. And that really makes sense of what it says here in this passage. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And you may be thinking, well, wait a second, how does the shield protect you from fire? Well, the shield was designed in that there were leather straps that were placed on the front of it, and those straps were soaked with water before you went on the battlefield, so that when the flame would come, it would hopefully extinguish that flame. Very interesting. And so Paul says, in all circumstances, take up this shield, this huge shield, which covers your entire body, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now maybe you're wondering, what are these evil darts, fiery darts of the evil one? What are these flaming darts? Well, scholars and historians and Bible students, they name all kinds of things. I think it basically means any assault that the enemy throws at you. It can catch you on fire. It can really damage you. Whether it's doubt or discouragement or fear or temptation or anything, whatever the evil one throws at us, whatever the enemy throws at us to try to get us to run and not engage in battle. Now, if you think about all that, then it makes sense to take up the shield of faith. But there's something really important that we have to think about with this. First, we need to understand what faith is. People can throw out the word faith all the time, but what do they mean by it? What do we mean by faith? Basically, biblically speaking, faith is confident belief and trust in God and what He says. In a nutshell, that's a simple definition of faith. It's confident belief and trust in what God, in who God is and what He says. Hebrews 11 says it this way: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. If God says, this is what I'm like, faith says, I believe it, and I trust you. If God says, this is what's good and this is what's bad, faith says, I believe you and I trust you on that. If God says, I'm going to forgive you your sins and I'm going to give you eternal life through my son Jesus, faith says, I believe that and I trust you. That's really what faith is about. It is belief, confident belief, and trust in God and what he says. But there's an interesting phenomenon that happens among even Christians that we make faith really more about ourselves than we do about God. Where we make faith more about me than we do about God. And so it's good for us to remember that faith isn't really about us. It's about God. That's an important point. If we're going to take up the shield of faith the right way, we got to remember this. Faith really isn't about me. It's not really about you. Yes, you're the one who has the faith, but faith really isn't about you. See, sometimes people can read into this passage an idea that I believe is spiritually unhealthy, spiritually unhelpful. Faith is essential, not because faith itself is a power, or faith itself is our protection. See, we're all infected with this malady we call sin. And sin causes us to turn in on ourselves. And when we turn in on ourselves, we can take something that's good and distort it. And we do that with faith. It's not really God that I need faith. It's not really God who is powerful, it's my faith that's powerful. It's not really God who protects me, it's my faith. Do you hear the lie in that, in those phrases? And this is seen so clearly in a movement that you may have heard of called Word of Faith. And you may be saying, well, Stuart, why are you talking about Word of Faith in a Presbyterian church? Well, we'll get there. But just hold with me for a minute. In an article about the problems of the movement Word of Faith, Joseph Matera says this, that the proponents of these, of the Word of Faith, have faith in their faith. They have faith in their faith. They believe that faith is a principle rather than it emanating out of the person of Christ. And he goes on to say, I have found in many instances where this Word of Faith movement presented faith like an impersonal force, like a law of gravity. And when this is taught, having faith in your faith, it can disconnect faith from the Lord. The more I get to know a person, the more I trust them. The more I can trust them. Faith is not a force. Faith is the result of growing in trust of the Lord. Faith is relational. It is not an impersonal force. Now, it may be easy for us to say, well, yeah, of course, Stuart. I'm not a Word of Faith advocate. I don't believe that faith is some kind of force that I use to get what I want. I've heard those things, and I don't agree with that. But whenever it comes to passages like this one, we can become so guilty, and I'll say it that way, guilty, of reading into this passage that what we really need is to work hard at strengthening our faith. That's not what Paul says, is it? Paul doesn't say, you've got a weak shield and you need to strengthen it. You need to put some, you know, you need to upgrade that shield. What he says is, take up the shield of faith, which is another way of saying, believe in God, trust in Jesus. In a sense, if we make this passage talk about how I need to have a stronger faith, what we're really doing is we're dabbling word of faith light. We're drinking diet word of faith. That's really what that is. Paul is not saying, yeah, I see that you've got your shield there, but you really need to make some upgrades on that thing. No, what he's saying is, take up the shield, believe in God, trust in Him. And even if your faith is weak, it's not about your faith, it's about the one you have faith in. The best way I know how to explain this is, and to do this, I'm going to be a little vulnerable here and tell you about a fear that I have. I am not a fan of flying. In an airplane, that is. I would love to fly like Superman, but that's just not going to happen. But I have a fear of flying. And it is difficult. I have to go through all these rituals just to be able to get on a phone. Good grief. On a plane. Got phone on the brain, apparently. I have to really work myself up to get on a plane. And I know that sounds crazy. But it's what happens with me. And maybe you're the type of person that you can get on a plane, you don't think twice about it. Now let's suppose you and I are flying to, let's say, Honduras. It's a great place to visit, right? And we both get on a plane at the same time. And you're sitting there and you're comfortable. You can even go to sleep. You can just nap because you just feel great. And I'm over there clutching the seat, hoping that we don't go down in a big fiery mass. And we land in Honduras safe. My faith was weak in that plane, but the plane got me where I needed to go. Just like your faith that was strong in the plane, it got you where you needed to go. The point is, it is not the strength of our faith that is at issue. It is the object of our faith. It is not the strength of our faith that is at issue. It is the object of our faith. If we are reading this passage and saying, I need to strengthen my faith, I need to work hard to get better at faith, then we miss the point. The point is not strengthen your faith. The point is believe in Jesus, trust in Him. Yeah. Or as John Webster, in his book Confronted by Grace, says, and this is a little bit a wordy quote, so hang with me. The basic rule for thinking about faith is this: what matters about faith is not us, but the object of faith. Faith isn't primarily a power or capacity in me. It isn't first and foremost an attitude which I adopt. Indeed, it's not first of all something that I do. Faith is wholly turned outward to the object of faith. In a real sense, it's not faith itself, but that toward which faith is turned that is critically important. What matters about faith is therefore not us, but God, the object of our faith. And again, that's a wordy quote, but the basic gist is, don't worry so much about the strength of your faith. Be concerned about the object of your faith, because He's worthy. He is faithful. He does not lie. And when he makes promises, he will fulfill them. And that is the shield that we can take into battle. Ultimately, Jesus is the shield. Ultimately, Jesus is the shield we trust to protect us from the attacks of the evil one. Your faith is not a shield in the sense that it is some kind of power within you. It is an instrument. It is a means of connecting you with the one who has the real power, the one who can truly protect you. And we see this all over the place in Scripture. In Genesis 15, the Lord comes to Abram and he says, "Fear not, I am your shield." Deuteronomy 33:29, "Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help." We see this all over the place in Psalms. Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield." Or Psalm 3:3, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me." Or Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Psalm 33:20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help, shield." Do you get the point? It's all over the place in Scripture. And the point of it is, our faith isn't as much the shield as the faith is the thing that connects us to the one who is our true shield, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is ultimately, he is our shield, and faith is what connects us to his protection. And what a shield and protector he is. When we think about the enemy can throw at us, he can throw our sins at us and say, "What a worthless sinner you are." But then we can remember, we can fix our eyes on Jesus and know, wait, Jesus was the one who took all my sins upon himself at the cross. And those sins were nailed there, and then they were buried with him in the grave. And now I bear those sins no more. When we remember that Jesus was the one who has suffered and has been tempted in the same way as we are, but he resisted sin and came out victorious on the other side, we can know that we can come to him, our Savior, our protector, our shield, at any time when we feel tempted, any time when we're suffering, and know that he understands. He's been there and done that. And he can give us victory in and through those problems. And in fact, when Paul says in 1 Corinthians that there is no temptation that has been faced with any of us that we all haven't faced in some way, but God will provide a way of escape, the way of escape is Jesus. When we look to him and we trust him and we say, "Jesus, I'm being tempted. Help me. I trust you to remove this temptation from me or to move me through it without giving in." That's the way of escape. Because he's been there and he's done that and he knows how to give you what you need when you need it. When doubt and discouragement are thrown at us, when they start to overwhelm us, we can fix our eyes on Jesus. And we can know his promises for us in the gospel are all yes and amen. And we know they will come true because Jesus is faithful and he has promised. There's a song that we sing in this church sometimes called "Immovable Our Hope Remains." And part of that, and we almost sang this today, but we had sang it not too long ago, so I didn't want to repeat it too quickly. But one of the phrases in that, one of the verses in that passage says, "The Lord acquits, who can condemn, though Satan's accusations fly." You can hear where this is part of those fiery darts that the enemy is throwing at you, those accusations. And then His power, Satan's power, can never reach our names to blot them from the book of life, because the Son has truly made us free, and His word forever stands. All our joy is knowing we are graven on His wounded hands. Since Jesus has died for us and taken the wrath of God against our sin upon Himself, He has freed us from the accusations of Satan. And that's a shield for us. And Paul says, take it up. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and know His salvation. Know His goodness to you and for you. Jesus is your strength and your shield. I know in a way that some of this is a little bit abstract because we don't usually dress up in armor. Unless maybe it's Halloween and we're going as, I don't know, a Roman soldier or something. You know, maybe. Probably none of you did that. So it's a little strange to think about it. So let me just change the metaphor for a moment. Imagine you're going car shopping. Now, Don and I have done this recently, and it's not the greatest experience. It's not always fun. But when you're going car shopping, one of the things that you want in a good car is one that's going to keep you safe, right? Some of you probably are more cognizant of that than others. You think about, you know, what happens if this car gets in a wreck? What happens? Does it have airbags? Does it have side airbags? You think about all those protective parts. In the same way, putting ourselves in Jesus is the greatest protection that we can have against the onslaught of the enemy, because He will keep us safe. That doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us, but it means that nothing ultimate can destroy us because we're in Christ. That the enemy cannot take away what God has given to us in Christ. And that, my friends, is why Jesus is such a great shield to us. Why He is our strength. And that's why, by faith, we need to look to Jesus as our strength and our shield. So let's do that. By faith, let's look to Jesus as our strength and shield, and know the joy that comes through that. Let's pray together. Father, again, we believe. Help us to overcome our belief. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to know that He is our shield, that He is our protection, and that in Him, nothing in all creation can separate us from Your love. Not even death. Not suffering. Not any attack of the evil one. Jesus, You keep us safe. So by Your Spirit, help us to believe, to trust You, and to know the true joy that comes from resting in You. And even as we come to the table today, we do ask that You would strengthen our faith. We know that it's not the strength of our faith that is really the most important thing, but help us to overcome the unbelief that we have and to see how great and beautiful and wonderful You really are. And we pray this in Your name, Jesus, and for Your glory. Amen.